Jesus rose from the dead and made Satan look like a big buffoon. But this Easter is actually a rare one because it actually coincides with April Fool's Day. Do you know, speaking of the resurrection, here's a question for you. What was the first thing that Jesus did after he rose from the dead? Jesus, this is what he did. Jesus spread his arms and proclaimed, ta-da! Here I am. So, boy, you guys need to lighten up. I'm going to back up. Yeah. That gotcha. Well, in an article I read this week, it asked the question, what is the most important thing that you know? What is the most important thing that you know? If someone were to ask you this morning, what is the most important thing that you know, how would you answer them? And I thought about that, and honestly, I said to myself, if somebody asked me what I consider to be the most important thing that I know, I would have to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think of all of the things that we could possibly know, that's probably the most important piece of information and knowledge that any of us could ever have. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, the Apostle Paul explains the significance of this one event. And this is what he said. He said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless." That scripture is 100% right. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then our faith would be useless. That means that everything that you and I do, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of that in the Christian life would be useless. It would all be a lie. Our hope in eternity would be for nothing. But on the flip side, if it is true, then all of humanity has to face the facts that one day we will all stand before Jesus Christ, not as the Savior, but we will all stand before Jesus Christ as the great judge and give an account of our life to Him in the court of heaven. Every single one of us face to face. You know, I heard it said that we can see through human history about mankind, that the history of mankind, not just from a biblical point of view, but from the world's point of view, that it resembles a cosmic chess match between good and evil, between God and the devil. It's like watching a wrestling match with its series of moves and counter moves to determine the destiny of mankind. We see this taught throughout all the entirety of the Bible. God makes a move. Satan counters with his deception and lies in the Old Testament, and even we see that in the New Testament. But in this, we must remember also that it's not a battle between equal forces, because God is the creator and the devil, Satan, is the created. And God already spoke about Satan's demise and his defeat in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He spoke about it. But that truth has never stopped the devil from trying to destroy God's plan and his children. Because when someone lives a lie, you believe your own lies. Even though we can believe and we know that Satan has been defeated, he still believes that he has not been defeated. When someone is so deceived, they actually believe what they're saying is the truth. And to them, what they believe is the truth. Did you know you could put someone who is completely embraced in deception, you could put them and make them have a lie detector test, and you could ask them questions, And every one of those questions, even though they're a lie to you and I, because they believe them, they will pass the test. Deception is a powerful force. The devil himself still believes that it's not over. He still believes that he can win. In the midst of the spiritual wrestling match of humanity, God himself enters into the history in the person of Jesus Christ. Satan sees this, waits for an opportune moment to counter move against God's plan. He finds this opportunity while Jesus is physically weakened in the midst of his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. Satan comes to him, tempts him with power and with pleasure, and tries to stop his mission on the earth. Jesus, as we know in that story, refuses to give in to the devil's temptations, but this didn't stop the devil's aim to deliver a definitive blow against God's plan and this person of Jesus Christ. He knows the only way to stop this is he has to kill him. He has to find a way to kill the Son of God. So we know what Good Friday is. So one Friday over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified on a cross. But God had the last word and God had the last move in this eternal wrestling match for the souls of humanity. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, the rulers of this age did not know the mystery of the cross and its power, because if they would have known, they would have never crucified, the Bible says, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? Think about this. For us today in the year 2018, it's easy for people to view the resurrection as a past historical event or an important element of our faith, but Jesus' life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection are more than just historical events in our Christian history. They are very, very important and powerful to help us understand why we can have victorious living right now, today, in our lives. So we need to understand what happened on the cross for you and I. Well, let's take a look. At the cross, most people don't understand why this day and this moment and this time is so significant. What changed everything? Because Jesus, what he did for us. He was our substitute in everything and in every way, even in his resurrection. See, that's why the real joke is on the devil. The devil thought that Jesus was dead and that was the end. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that was the true April Fool's Day for Satan. See, although now Satan is defeated at the cross, he still hopes to take us down with him. He wants to destroy your faith. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, the tactic switches now to keep you from being effective as a Christian. He knows that he can't change your eternity, but he can change your present. And he can keep you from being effective in other people's lives. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the question this morning is, what did Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection accomplish for you and I? Why is this important? See, it's more important to understand what we do after we receive the truth of Jesus Christ than just simply receiving the truth. Yes, when we embrace Jesus Christ as our substitute, like we saw right here, when we truly understand that Jesus Christ became our substitute for our sin, for our weakness, for our unholiness before God, when we understand that, that's the first step. Our nature changes. But after that, is one of the most vital decisions that we have to make. Whether or not we're going to be effective and fulfill our destiny in this life, or whether or not we're just going to ride it out until the day we stand before God. So what did Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection accomplish for us? Number one, we need to always be reminded this proof that God loves us. It's proof that God loves us. How often do you say, I love you, to your wife, to your children, to people, your family, people that mean a lot to you? We say that a lot. Are your words the only evidence of the love that you have for your family? Is that the only evidence they have? Hopefully not. We understand love through action. We understand love through action. God isn't just talk, is he? God is a God of action. The real demonstration of God's love for us came at the cross of Calvary, when God laid everything on the line to show his love to us in a visible, illustrative way. Just like the scripture was up on the screen for the drama, Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody say this with me. He became me. Everything Jesus did, he did as us, for us, in us, and through us. No other expression of any kind of faith, religion on the earth can say that. Everything he did it for you. This truth is the reason why Jesus was not just some historical figure of the past. This is why he is still changing lives in the present, and he will continue to change lives in the future to every single person that will embrace this reality, that he is at work in our lives every moment of every day. What's the second thing that we can learn from his death and resurrection? Number two, proof that we are forgiven. See, these seem simple, but these are the very things that cause people to fall away from God when they don't embrace and understand the facts that we are forgiven. Pastor Tony Evans said something that I think it's really awesome, and he said this. He says, when we go shopping for something, we have to pay for it. And when we pay, we get a receipt. This receipt validates our purchase. If there is ever a question about the item, the receipt proves that payment has been made. Christ's resurrection serves as sort of a receipt from God to prove that our sins are forgiven and that we can embrace and believe what Jesus said. So Christ's resurrection is the receipt that our sins are forgiven. It's proof that all that he promised to give us, he did with his power over death itself. When we confess our sin and we ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives, we are forgiven and we're born again. Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification for us. Everybody say, for me. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, you and I could never get a new birth. We could never get a new spirit if Jesus would have never risen from the dead. Because if he would have never risen from the dead, God could not have released new life onto the earth until somebody paid the price for the original sin of disobedience thousands of years before by Adam. That's why Jesus, the Bible says, is the second Adam. He's a like model of a new creation reality in our world. The Bible says he's the first of a new generation or even a new species of being. When Jesus rose from the dead, a new race developed on the face of the earth. Number three, what does the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus tell us? Number three, proof that our relationship with God is restored. Our relationship with God is restored. You know, this is one of those things that I have yet to understand why people would reject this. I don't understand it. I mean, literally, it's just not logical. When you lay out the entirety of what God has done, and by simply embracing and receiving Jesus Christ, we have a new relationship with God, not based on anything we've done, but yet you offer this to people, and they look at you like you are an idiot. And I'm looking at them like they're an idiot. I mean, who in their right mind would not want to have a restored relationship with their Creator? Who? I mean, to me, that person has to be the dumbest person on the face of the earth. I mean, God has given it to us freely, yet people reject that. See, that's the power of deception, isn't it? That's the power that Satan still holds over people even to this day. But if they would just but open their heart and embrace the Word of God, the truth, and follow that, their life would be changed. Look at this. In John chapter 1, 12 and 13, look, it's simple. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ opened up not just a small crack in eternity in the kingdom of God. Literally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ busted open entire gates of heaven for the blessings of God to pour out upon the earth through the lives of every individual who will embrace this truth. You and I become the very light of God to the rest of the world. When we put our trust in Jesus as our substitute, we become children of God. We become children of God. People that do not know the Lord through Jesus Christ, they're created by God, but they're not children of God. The Bible tells us they are children of the devil because they still operate in disobedience against God. And until that day comes when they change, they will not be children of God. They're created by God, the image of God, but their spirit is not God. People need this truth. So look at Hebrews 10:13 is one of the most powerful, or actually Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." One offering he has perfected for how long? Forever. Forever is a long time. I don't know how long forever is, but forever is a long time, wouldn't you say? I don't know how much longer you can get than forever, but I think forever is it. Right? A billion years. Can you believe that you and I who know Jesus Christ are going to be alive a billion years from now? A billion. We can't even think that big, can we? We can't even think that big. You know how long it takes to tick off 1 billion seconds? 32 years. You know how long it takes to tick off 1 million seconds? 11 days. There's the difference between a million and a billion. 11 days or 32 years. Now put a trillion. We're going to be alive a trillion years from now. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Why? Because forever. We never die. He who lives and believes in me will never die. How many of you would agree with me life is short now? Life is short. But isn't it amazing that everything that happens to us in eternity is all depends on this little short moment in time? Everything in our future depends on this short moment of time. Even right now, this minute, this second, for every one of us, determines the next billion years of our life. Number four, Satan is defeated and the victory is ours. Satan is defeated and the victory is ours. Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us." Isn't that awesome? He knows, the devil knows he is defeated. He's defeated an enemy. He's crushed at the cross and the empty tomb. But we have to understand that our enemy needs our cooperation to sustain any kind of attack in our life. We have to cooperate with what he wants to do the same way we have to cooperate with what God wants to do. Why? Which we talked about a month ago when we understood the power of free will. God gives us a choice, allows us to choose. The only power Satan has over us is what we give him. It's what we give him. There's always going to be temptations. People, I don't know how many conversations I've had with people, and they get so frustrated in themselves, especially when they have a real desire to follow God. They get so frustrated in themselves that they continue to repeat sinful behavior. And they begin to question themselves, how can I be a Christian? How can I really be born again if I keep doing these dumb things? That's the whole reason why we need to embrace Jesus Christ. Because God knew it. God knew that you and I, we have some limits right now. For one, we're fighting an enemy we cannot see. He uses tactics that have been around for thousands upon thousands of years against every human being. We can't see him. We're trying to learn his tactics. He's old and we're young. A baby doesn't really have a chance against an adult, do they? So God interceded for us. God intervened. And he said, look, I'm going to take care of the spiritual nature of this. And as you gain knowledge like a child gains knowledge when they grow, you'll understand more as you learn how to fight the fight. So don't get frustrated because temptations to sin are going to happen. But Jesus has endured it all. Jesus dealt with temptation without failure. Jesus, the Bible says, never sinned. So he's the perfect guy. He did it for you. Jesus suffered everything for us, so you don't have to. Jesus took every single thing. There isn't a thing that Jesus did not do for us because he loved us. See, listen. Satan no longer has a counter move to stop what God has already done. It's over. It is over. The only part that remains is the decisions that you and I make. But April Fool's, this April Fool's Day, the joke is on the devil. And we can remind him of that every single moment. When he reminds you of your past, whether or not it was 5 minutes ago, you just tell him April Fool's and let me remind you of your future. Right? Because I can tell you right now, my future is better than his. No matter when it's going to be, my future is better. Because God made a way for you and I. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Give the Lord a praise today and tell him thank you for this. I want to ask you this morning before we leave. You know, I recognize most of the folks in here, some of you that are here newer today, I don't know you. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. I don't know if you've ever made a decision to allow Jesus Christ to be your substitute. Maybe you're putting your faith in coming to church. I mean, coming to church and being around Christian people is a great thing, but becoming a part of Southgate is not going to get you a ticket to heaven. I don't have a ticket to heaven. I can't even find my keys. So trust me, God is not going to trust me with any kind of ticket to get people to heaven because I'll be looking around for my own. No, God's the only one. Jesus is the one that holds it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's it. This is Jesus' day. But it isn't just Jesus' day, it's your day. The resurrection wasn't just about him. The resurrection was about all of humanity. And a new day beginning 2,000 years ago for every single person on the face of the earth to restore a relationship with God. I don't know about you today, but if you're here this morning and you can sit here and look at me and go, you know what, Pastor? I'm not sure about my future. I'm not sure. I'm just not at peace. I don't know for sure if I died today that I know where I would go. I'm not sure. Let me tell you something. If you're not sure, you need to know now. You need to know the answer to those questions, because that, right, there is nothing more important today. No plans that you have afterwards, no Easter egg hunts, none of that matters. Because let me tell you, you could be gone before we get out of church today. It can happen, can't it? It can. But we need to be ready. So if you're here today and you don't know the answer to that, we're going to release people this morning. Go get you some donuts, coffee. But if you're here today and you go, you know what, Pastor, I don't know for sure. If you don't know for sure, come see me right after. We'll talk about it. I'll give you some info. And you can make a decision, not under emotional pressure, but make a decision consciously with knowledge and understanding and choose the way of Christianity, a new life. And God will help you live out your destiny, and we will too. So God bless you. Let's give another big round of applause to Jesus, the man of the hour. Amen. He's the one that did it for us. We couldn't do it ourselves. God bless you. Have an awesome day. And I also wanted to let you know on the back table,